Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Finally, a reading I can relate to. In the book of Isaiah this morning, we heard these words: eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Done. Some people, they eat to live. And I myself, I live to eat. I love food. And of course, like all of you here, I'm sure, you have favorites. I have my favorites. And my eating habits, admittedly, got a little out of control when I went to college. Junk food was so readily available, it was ridiculous. Whether it was in the cafeteria, or whether it was in my dorm room, or whether I could just drive to the store and buy whatever I wanted. No parental oversight. I can eat whatever I want. We've heard of the freshman 15. 15 pounds freshman year. And then 15 pounds sophomore year. And then a few more junior year. The problem is that for me, I'm never satisfied with just one piece of candy. We all know the potato chip slogan, right? You can't eat just one. You ever tried? You can't. You have to eat at least two potato chips because they're delicious. Or even, you know, just having one serving of anything. And so if I had a means to tally up all of the money that was sort of spent on unnecessary food, it would probably be a pretty embarrassing amount. And maybe not just food. You know, I held a part-time job all through college, and with all the shenanigans that me and my friends got into, if I were to tally up all of the things that I bought that are now just forgotten, so much spent on a bunch of nothing. And that leads us directly into our Isaiah reading. For Isaiah writes, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy." The truth is that this is all of us, right? Wasteful. We spend our money on things that isn't really always useful. We labor for that which does not satisfy. We take the things that God has given to us, and then we use them as instruments for waste. How many times do we spend a few hours in front of the TV, downloading all sorts of nonsense or useless information or some stupid sitcom into our minds? It's wasted time. The internet's even worse. The internet's a time dump. You log onto the internet and pretty soon 2 hours is gone. Or maybe you have one of these. A cell phone. Have you ever wasted time on your cell phone? Maybe to the detriment of your family and friends who are literally sitting in the same room with you? Whether we'd like to admit it or not, that's labor. We're spending our time, we're spending our resources, we're spending our intellect, and we're spending it on something that is literally useless most of the time. Might waste money. Have to have the latest and greatest, even though a year from now it's going to be obsolete. Or at least out of date. You see, we use what God has given us, even our intellect, even our resources, even our time, to waste. We don't always use them for the glory of God, and we don't always use them for the people around us. Instead, we'd rather do what feels good. And it's to our detriment, and it's to the detriment of our neighbor. And so this morning, the words of Isaiah are for you. And they're for me, and indeed, they're for everybody in our world. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? That's what we do, right? We spend money on things we don't need. We work to provide for it all. We amass wealth and prestige. And then it so quickly leaves us. And the truth, if you haven't figured it out, is in this life, Even if you amass all the things you want today, there's going to be something else you want tomorrow. Because we are never content with what we have. It's never enough. There's always something bigger and better coming down the pike. And so it reminds us of words like the ones from Colossians. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. And it's a lot easier said than done, because it's so easy to see all of the things we want in this life and to strive after them and to work for them and to do everything we can to get them. But we're never satisfied. And we think that, and you know, it'd be a whole lot better if Jesus were still here with us. Right? We just read the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, there's not enough bread. There's not enough fish. And so Jesus goes, I got this one, right? He says a blessing or something. And all of a sudden, 5,000 bellies are filled. And they have 12 baskets full of leftovers. Think about all the things he could multiply. What if he could multiply the crops in your field? Wow, that'd be great. What if he could multiply the food on your table? Now, if he can do that, I mean, surely, what if he could multiply the $20 bills in your wallet? Right? Or log into your bank account and just sort of double the number that's in there. All the things Jesus could multiply. Think about it. Maybe he could multiply the size of your retirement fund. This would be great. How many people want more time in a day? What if Jesus could make a 48-hour day instead of a 24-hour day? We would have all the time in the world to do whatever we wanted. We could even sleep twice that day. The possibilities are endless. If we could multiply anything we want, we would think, finally, we'll be satisfied. After all, that's what the reading says, right? In the gospel, it told us they all ate and were satisfied. But for a night, for a moment, for an instant. You see, because it's not much longer after that that the people then want Jesus to recreate the miracle, to do it again. And that's when Jesus said, that's not why I came here. You see, this is precisely why it's so easy for us to miss the point of the feeding of the 5,000 and what the Isaiah reading is telling us. You see, we will not find total satisfaction in this life. But that's not what the readings are about. It's not about how God can satisfy your earthly desires. And granted, he can. Right? He provides us with daily bread. He gives us all that we need to support this body and life. But that's not why Jesus came. It says Jesus had compassion on the people. That's why he heals the sick. That's why he feeds hungry bellies. It's not because he's looking to usher in some sort of earthly utopia, but because he shows himself as a savior who can satisfy not only your desires in this life, but any desire you might have for eternal life. Now, the desires of this life, they so often look much better to us than the desires of eternal life, because they're right before us, they're right in front of us. But if you want to be satisfied for eternity, not just for an instant, not just for a second, not just for a moment, but for all time, the Lord is telling us how we can do that today. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. You see, in Isaiah, we're not talking about physical bread. He's not talking about something you can put into your body, but he's talking about the very bread of life that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, the Word of God incarnate, who comes into our ears as we listen. My friends, in this life, we're never going to be satisfied. At least not for very long. There's always something more. So the only solution is to listen, to incline your ear, to hear the word of the Lord that your soul might live. The Lord is literally begging you to hear the words of Scripture and to believe them. To be convicted of your sin as we sort of seek after the wealth and the riches of this world. To repent. And to receive from your Savior, Jesus. Someone who has promised his compassion for you. Someone who promises you satisfaction in the midst of a world that is filled with discontent. My friends, this morning, eat what is good. I'm not talking about the bread that was downstairs before church, though it was very good. But feast on the Word of God. Read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it. You see, just as the food that we eat in our mouths becomes a part of our bodies, you know, gives us nutrients so we can still live, the Word of God, as we eat it, as we consume it, as we allow it to become part of us, it informs our mind, it informs our heart, and it becomes a part of who you are. Today, let it declare you forgiven, redeemed, satisfied. Eat what is good. Come to the Lord's house. Feast on his body and blood. That body and blood that promises you forgiveness for all of your sins. That promises you to strengthen your faith. That promises you satisfaction in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Eat what is good. And remember your baptism. Remember who God has made you through those waters, because you are his child. One whom he has promised that he would always give the best to. Whether it's in this life or in the next, God is always looking out for you. Remember this baptism that connects you to that life-giving moment where Jesus rose from the tomb 3 days after he had died. Remember the covenant promise of his steadfast love that he had poured over your head with that water. My friends, eat what is good and the rich food of salvation. Now, as far as earthly riches, as far as earthly satisfaction, it's probably not going to do you very much to hear the word. But let's not focus on the things of this earth, but the things that are above. And so this day, know that the promise of Jesus is for you. That he has died for you. That he has shed his blood for you. That he has lived again for you so that you might know that you are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are his. And that whether it be in this life or the next, he will always give you every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.